I was cranky. I was fatigued. I probably went years and years and years of a really restrictive approach to diet and eating. I couldn't be teaching people about wellness if I wasn't well myself.
Do you plan your meals in advance?
No. It's a simple answer now.
A lot of people think that you need to spend a whole day in the kitchen meal prepping. Tell me what meal prepping truly involves and debunk a few myths.
Planning an entire week is setting yourself up for a failure. If you're going through a weight loss journey and you're just starting out and you're coming from that background of yo-yo dieting, the simpler you can make it, the better. If you sit down with friends and family and eat a good meal, no one's unhappy. You know, it's about bringing kind of joy through food, and that's really what food is about for me.
In your journey to becoming a recipe developer, what have you discovered about the relationship between food and wellness that you wish more people understood?
I'll let you in on a secret. I wish...
Guys, welcome back to another episode of Chew On This. I am so excited for this guest. Greer is the lead recipe developer at EQ, so one of ours, one of our own, which is so exciting. So all of those delicious recipes that you see on our Instagram, in our app, all because of her. She's the mastermind, the creator behind all of the deliciousness. So all of these recipes that I claim as Amal's pasta, it's actually Greer's pasta, but Amal makes it a lot. So Greer, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Thank you for joining me. And it's quite unique because you come from a background of having so many years, like 15 plus years in hospitality, and then making that switch to studying and getting your Bachelor of Dietetics and Medicine.
Yeah, nutritional and dietetic medicine. It's crazy. A bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, it's a massive mouthful. I can't even say it. Massive mouthful. And although very similar industries, as in like food, very different. So look, I'm not going to dive into your past yet. I do want to start with a question just about your history and just about your dieting history. So tell me about a moment where your body or your relationship with food significantly impacted your life or mindset and how you navigated through that experience.
Sure. So we're going to get deep fast. I definitely had quite a moment in my life where I had a negative relationship with food. It was probably about 12 months after I had my daughter that I started to get back into exercise and kind of felt a bit off about my body. I'd put a bit of weight on. I felt very unfit. So I started to begin my weight loss journey. And initially it was quite a healthy, realistic weight loss that I went through. And then I went through a few things in my personal life, and I decided to take on one of the 8-week gym challenges at the gym that I was into, which I'm sure many people have done. I am an athlete and I still compete, and I have a very competitive nature.
You do.
I do, yes. Yeah. Anyone that knows me knows it comes out, especially in an escape room or when there's any sort of challenge at work. So I started to do this challenge and I took it very seriously, but it began to really consume my life, and I did a lot of really restrictive things to get the results that I was getting. So I did like a 1200 calorie diet, really, really low carb, but I was also training twice a day, very heavy training to compete as well in beach sprinting. I was cranky. I was fatigued. I won the challenge. So I won the prize and I felt really proud of myself, but I injured myself quite badly. And it took me a really long time to come back from the, I guess, the negative aspect that I'd put on food, and it really ruined my relationship with food for a long time.
It's so concerning because I think that a lot of our listeners would have experienced something similar to what you've experienced, because we sign up to a gym, we then start using their nutrition guidelines or program, or we become super motivated. We're like, yeah, I'm just going to restrict more because I'm seeing results and I want my results faster. But we don't see what kind of impact that could actually have, which for you, it was like, you know, your mood, your injuries, just like overall, like just not great health.
Yeah.
How did you get yourself out of that? Because it's actually really hard once you're like deep into that journey. How did you realize that this was just not okay and this was not a healthy approach?
Look, it took a long time. I probably went years and years and years of a really restrictive approach to diet and eating, and it was almost like that over healthy view, and everything had to be, you know, clean eating and all that sort of thing. And it was, I guess, when I started to embark on my education journey. So I started an online nutrition course, and that really opened my eyes to nutrition, and it's really sparked that passion within me for nutrition. And then I signed up to a Bachelor of Health Science, and that's when I really started to understand what I'd been doing and how bad it was for my body, and that I couldn't be teaching people about wellness if I wasn't well myself. So I would say having my degree has really, really changed my relationship with food.
I was going to ask that. Was it when you started studying that you realized what proper nutrition was? Did you also make that decision because of the impact it could have on Maddie's life as that role model in her life?
Yeah, look, I think when she was younger and I was very strict on myself, I was still very aware that I didn't want her to have a bad relationship. I didn't realize that I was still being very kind of over healthy with everything I did for her, but it definitely, the more I grew, the more I realized like what I do has a really significant impact on her. And I see her relationship with food now and how I've shaped that by being balanced and, you know, still having lollies and snacks in the house and that sort of thing. If she wants it, she'll have it. She'll put her hand up and, you know, say, yeah, I feel like an ice cream. But equally, if I say, do you want an ice cream? Sometimes she'll say, no, I'm good.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Good parenting.
I know. And you know what? She's got more willpower than me in some areas. Like, it's not even willpower. It's just natural. She listens to her body. Oh. And, you know, that's, you know, one thing I'm really proud about, that she's got that really good understanding of what her body needs and wants at the time.
Honestly, well done. I speak about this a lot, how being a mum and what you put on the table and just even your relationship with food and how you diet ultimately affects how your children view food and their relationship Absolutely. With food. Because if you're always that mum that is eating chicken and broccoli and not eating the same tacos and meals as everyone else, that's going to translate in how they look at food, because mum's always on a diet. Mum's always trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And so I think as a mum, and of course, you know, postpartum, you want to go through a weight loss journey. Like, I want to lose the baby weight. But you also need to be a good influence on your children. And congratulations, like, that's amazing. Like,
yeah, thank you.
How Maddie looks at food is the ideal way any child should look at food. So they'll eat sweets when they want to and are okay with saying no. She's definitely not the person that's like, oh, I'm going to the birthday party, I'm going to binge on everything because mum doesn't let me have it, which is honestly credit to you as being that role model. So well done. Yeah. So I want to talk about you being a foodie.
Yes.
So you are a passionate foodie.
Very much
and,
so.
You know, you like, I want to know more about your food philosophy and why do you enjoy making healthy and delicious meals?
Yeah. I absolutely love food. I love food from all cultures, and I love that we're lucky enough in this country to have access to so much amazing produce as well. You know, I just love being able to put together a meal for people and share the goodness of what food is and how happy people are when they eat, you know.
Oh, it's the best.
If you sit down with friends and family and eat a good meal, no one's unhappy. You know, it's about bringing kind of joy through food, and that's really what food is about for me. It doesn't have to be overcomplicated. Simple ingredients, and we, as I said, we're so lucky in this country with the quality of food that we've got, and just letting that speak for itself.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I went traveling recently and I was like in the US and like Mexico and so on. And it was like I was craving the produce that we had in Australia. Yeah. The quality of our food here is just so amazing, but you don't appreciate it when you have it every single day and then you step
Absolutely.
Out of this country and you're like, oh my God, the food we have in Australia is so good. So tell me, what made you tie your like hospitality background and your study together, and also like your passion for like good food? Like, how did that all come about? Like, how did you essentially become a recipe developer after all of it?
I'll let you in on a secret. I was known in the family as the one that couldn't cook growing up.
Oh my, wow.
I didn't tell you that in my job interview.
No, you did. You definitely didn't. But either way, I would have just ignored it because your food is amazing. But wow.
Yeah, I had no interest in food whatsoever. My sister was an amazing cook. She would always experiment with things. And as I got into hospitality, I started to get interested, and I would just sort of start to watch what the chefs were doing and that sort of thing. And then I'd start to ask my sister, how do you just throw things together? And started to gain confidence. And then as I went into the nutrition side of things, I felt a really natural affinity to create and start to show people that you can still have burgers and you can still have pizzas and pasta, but you can have it in a lighter, healthier way. It just doesn't have to be as heavy as you have at a restaurant. And it's about, you know, showing the recreations of those recipes. And that started even before I began my degree. And then throughout my degree, I kind of just started some online stuff, and I had really good feedback from it. And then, you know, as my degree progressed, I really sort of thought, this is the direction I want to go. And I was lucky enough just to fall into a job that was in recipe development and eventually make my way to EQ, which was a dream job for me. So it was really about putting that love of food and nutrition and health and balance together, which is what I loved about that role with my role with EQ.
Our philosophy, exactly.
Yeah.
And you've done it so well. Do you get a lot of fulfillment when someone tastes your recipe and they're like, oh my God, this is so good?
Absolutely. I mean, getting feedback where people are saying this is, you know, so easy, but it's so delicious, it makes me so happy. And anytime anyone's eating my food and giving me good feedback, you know, it's a little bit of added happiness to my heart for the day.
I actually, I'm somewhat of a good cook as well. Mm-hmm. And every time I cook a meal, I'll always ask the person that's eating with me, what do you think of like my meal? Like, do you like it? What do you rate it out of 10?
Yeah.
And like, for example, like my boyfriend, I'm just like, hey, so like out of 10, what do you think? And it's like one of our Equilution recipes. And I just won't let him not give me an answer because I just want to know if my cooking
is good. You want to know that what you're doing is good, right?
Yeah, and they love it.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, 9.8. And I'll be like, are you just saying that because you like me or because you like my food? But honestly, it's such a rewarding feeling when people love your food. So in your journey to becoming a recipe developer, what the hell? I can't even talk now. In your journey to becoming a recipe developer, what have you discovered about the relationship between food and wellness that you wish more people understood?
That it doesn't have to be difficult, you know, just to keep it simple and don't overcomplicate it. The moment you start to do too much is when it becomes too hard, and then you fall off the wagon and you start that kind of yo-yo dieting cycle. So I just think, yeah, really simplify things, especially at the beginning. If you're going through a weight loss journey and you're just starting out and you're coming from that background of, you know, yo-yo dieting, I think the simpler you can make it, the better. Don't be chopping and changing meals all week. Stick to some simple things that you like and enjoy the food.
Oh, I love that. That is honestly, I was smiling just then when you were just answering my question because it's so true. A lot of people overcomplicate this journey, and because of that reason, it's just not sustainable. And the method that is the best method that you could do is one that you can sustain long term, because if you can continue to implement what you do day in, day out, you will essentially maintain your results or maintain that healthy lifestyle. Yeah, absolutely. So keeping it simple is key, and I absolutely love that. So that's a really good segue into my question about meal planning and like meal prepping, because a lot of people think that you need to spend a whole day in the kitchen meal prepping, getting your week sorted, like cooking all your meals. So tell me what like meal prepping truly involves and debunk a few myths.
Okay. So meal prepping is literally just planning ahead, whether it's for 2 days or 3 days or an entire week. Now, I think planning an entire week is setting yourself up for some failure, and that's not what we want to do. So I always think looking to meal prep a couple of days or creating a lot of freezer meals is a really good idea, but just kind of taking a few elements of it and breaking it down so it's not feeling so overwhelming. Because a lot of the thing is with a weight loss journey is that people are coming from a background of kind of not understanding and not having the education, and they don't enjoy food because it's they've got a bad relationship with it, right? So when they go into meal planning and try to do a whole day of meal prep, so they work Monday to Friday, they come and go, okay, I've got a meal prep, I've got to do a whole Sunday, I'll do the shop, I'll meal prep all day, and they get to Sunday night and they go, oh my God, I'm already exhausted. And they've set up all these meals, but then during the week something comes along and they don't eat that meal and they go, well, why did I do all that meal prep? Mm. And I've wasted that meal and I didn't enjoy my weekend. So just setting up small and going, okay, rather than spending hours and hours meal prepping, I'm going to make my dinner for tonight, but I'm going to triple the portion or times for the portion and then have a couple of meals for the next couple of dinners or even for lunches or if you're like me, for breakfast, because I do love a savoury breakfast.
It's weird, guys. She'll come into the office and it's like 8 a.m. and she's eating like butter chicken or something.
Oh, that's my favourite for breakfast.
And I think it's so weird. Like, I don't know if you can leave comments on this podcast, but please comment below if you eat like a lunch or dinner option for breakfast and if you think it's normal. I think it's weird.
I want to start a movement.
No, it's so
dinner
weird
for breakfast. I really think it's a thing. And I mean, why not? You're doing all of that work during the day, so you're going to be better fueled, right? So if we reversed it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, that's okay.
But like breakfast can still fuel you for the day, right? Yogurt and granola and my eggs on toast.
Look, I mean, as long as you're eating, I think that's great. But the meal prepping and just making bigger, like scaling your portions to fit as many days as you need, I think is probably one of the easiest ways of meal prepping. And then, and creating some of those meals that are freezer friendly. And I just pop mine into Ziploc bags and flatten them so that they fit into the freezer really easily. And if I come home at night and I have just had one of those weeks where I haven't had time to have meals prepared or I don't want to come home and cook, you take that out, it defrosts in next to no time. If you don't like microwaves, you can throw it straight into a pot with a little bit of water, it'll defrost. Like, it's a space-saving thing, it's a money-saving thing, and it's a time-saving thing. So, yeah, absolutely going for multiple portions is a winner for me. Also, you can just do extra elements of your meal. So your protein, cooking extra protein and then changing it up with different vegetables or different salads or different bases, whatever you want to do with that protein, adding that in how you like. Just doing trays of roast veggies and then having that to add to salads to make it a bit more substantial. Things like that are really, really easy wins for meal prep. And I also think snacks, having your snacks organized for the week can be an absolute game changer. And whether that's packet snacks or cut up celery and carrot and hummus and that sort of thing,
or
whatever it is,
bars
or chocolate bars and donuts,
and,
yeah. Whatever it is that, you know, is your jam, I think that's fine. But just having it prepared and ready to go, whether it's in the fridge, in a little bag, ready to go to take to work or whatever it is that you do, just being prepared like that makes everything so much easier.
Yeah, you know what? I actually didn't think of it like that because I made bolognese. So I made this like spicy, cheesy bolognese. Did you see it?
I did. It looked delicious.
Oh, so good. I accidentally put half of like the chili flake.
Of course you did.
What is it called? Like the spice container? Into, I was like, oh, and it all fell in and I was just like, oh, okay, I'm not going to be mad about that.
But that's your kind of heaven, right?
Good. It was great. But I made, I just cooked the whole packet of mince. Like most of the pasta, like I just made four portions and that essentially gave me dinner for the next 3 nights. But I just did it because I was like, oh, I don't really want to cook. I have a busy week ahead.
Mm.
But at that time, I wasn't thinking that I was actually meal prepping, but I was.
No, and it takes no extra time.
It added no extra time. Yeah. So best tip ever. Love that. So you're saying to our listeners that it is not necessary to dedicate a whole day to meal prepping and getting your week planned ahead.
Absolutely not. And unless that's something you really enjoy doing and get something out of, then no. I mean, it's certainly not for me.
Yeah, I'd rather spend my Sunday on the beach, reading a book, watching a movie, whatever it may be.
Exactly.
So what's like your typical meal prep look like? So like tell me the last time that you planned ahead, like what did you actually do?
Yeah, so the other day I was doing – I can't even remember exactly what dish it was, but it was a specific way of cooking chicken. So then I put some extra chicken breast into the air fryer. I seasoned it with some spices and I had 3 days worth of protein done.
Perfect.
I threw some sweet potato into the air fryer and had sweet potato there. So then I can add it to omelets, to frittatas, to my salads. Yeah. and it was there ready to go. But that's literally how simple I keep my meal prep.
Do you plan your meals in advance?
No. It's a simple answer now.
Keep hitting my mic. I'm not used to having this thing here when I move my hands around. So you don't plan your meals in advance?
No, look, I'll have a vague idea of things that I want to do. I always have things in my freezer, like just the proteins uncooked as well. So I can kind of, I always have elements that I can grab and go quite easily to create something. The reason I don't so much anymore, I used to do it to have everything mapped out, and it was just, I needed to get away from that and have a little bit more fun with food. I'll definitely have an idea of it, but I don't completely plan. I will say planning really helps with budgeting. Yeah. If you're looking to budget on your groceries, which can be really helpful at the moment. So planning ahead will help with that. But just at the moment where I am, it's not something that I've been doing so much. But I will always use up what's in my freezer and my fridge and try not to have waste.
I was actually going to ask how long it took you to get to this point where you don't need to plan ahead, because I'm a big believer in doing your time. Mm. And so something that we share with a lot of our clients for EQ is you need to do your time, so you need to plan ahead, because how do you know what you're putting in your body and if you're on track with your goals if you don't plan ahead? So it just sets you up for success.
Absolutely.
And so for me, it took me like so many years to get to the point where I am today where I don't need to plan ahead. So I have like some sort of knowledge of what I'm going to cook for the week. So I'll go and get like mince or chicken or, you know, prawns, my favorite protein, and like my usual salads, lettuce, tomato, cucumber, whatever, and my favorite snacks. And then I just whip up whatever, and I usually eat the same meals anyways. But it's taken so many years to get to the point where I can do that, because I know exactly what I'm putting in my body as well. So it's not only just about having fun with food and being more flexible, but it's also because you have that knowledge on how to eat for your body and making informed choices.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get there?
Oh, look, I would say it was a 10-year process. Yeah. And it's like anything in life, right? You put in the hard work and you're going to get the results. So, and the hard work is about education. And that's what, with EQ, that's what it is about. It's about education. It's about understanding what that sort of weight of protein looks like. How many, not just the calories, but the protein in that. And then how you then put that meal together. This is my job. So I'm doing this day in, day out. I can see a handful of lettuce and I go, that weighs 40 grams. I can see a chicken breast and I'm like, that's 150 grams. And I'm pretty close. Like, yeah. I test myself.
Oh, no, I'd love to see this.
You know, I'm a bit of a nerd.
We should make a reel where we say, guess the grams in this ingredient.
I've literally just set myself up for this.
And then see how far off you are. I'm going to do this piece of content.
I do test myself at home. So I would think, unless my scales are off, that I'm pretty good at it. But it just goes to show, it's just education. So the more educated you are, the easier it's going to be. So you can just go, look, I've got this, or I know that I buy this each week and I can throw these meals together and I more or less know that I'm on track.
Yeah.
When you really want to kind of just get to another level, you might start tracking again.
Absolutely.
And weighing. And I do it too. There's times in my life where I'm like, oh, I just want to tighten things up a little bit, lean up a little bit, and I will start tracking again and just being a bit more planned with what I'm eating. But I have the ability to be able to drop in and out of that because I've got the knowledge, I've got the education, and I've done the hard yards.
I love that. And I think that, you know, when people come like embark on a journey like this, they're like, I have to weigh everything or I have to track everything. But it's that education piece, right? It's not something that you'll do for the rest of your life, but when you put in the time and you earn it, you're then able to become more flexible, because you can just cook up chicken and be like, I know how many calories this is, or I know how many calories this meal is, which means that I can go out for dinner and enjoy this and I know exactly what to eat for the rest of the day. So love that. I think that is like such an important tip. Okay, I'm going to go back to the whole recipe development thing, because I think it's such an interesting topic and I'm personally just interested in this. So tell me, like, what's your go-to for creative recipe inspiration? Like, how do you get inspired to make these meals? We have like over, 8,000 recipes in our database, and you have contributed to a significant amount of that. So tell me, like, what is your inspiration behind all of this?
I am constantly taking notes. I've got a note section in my phone, a note section on my computer. I've got a note section in my notebook. I'm always taking ideas, and whether that's just a couple of elements or it's a dish from a restaurant that I've been to, I quite often will go to a restaurant or a cafe and I'll be inspired by something and I'll go, okay, I really love this. How can I recreate this but lighter, more calorie and macro friendly, particularly so I can put it into meal plans for our customers, because I enjoyed it so much and I want everyone else to enjoy it. So I'm always on and just always looking in social media. Pinterest is a good one for inspiration as well. Magazines, cooking shows. I'm just always on the lookout, and it's just about those elements that go together. And then how can I make it a bit fun and macro friendly? And just easier to put together as well.
How do you maintain the flavor while making it more calorie and macro friendly? So like, what is your trick?
I am like an OG Spice Girl. One, I was a big fan of the Spice Girls growing up, but massive fan. But I also have a lot of spices in my pantry. I actually just did a renovation and I have a drawer dedicated to them, and they're all alphabetized. Balls. It's just a little glimpse into me in a way.
It's like when you ask your partner for a present, like, more herbs and spices, more herbs please.
And spices, please.
And cooking utensils.
And better jars that are all labelled. Yeah, that's very me. But look, it's just starting to experiment with herbs and spices. They are absolute flavour bombs.
Yeah.
And they're next to no calories. You know, they're not going to add anything to your meal except flavour. So they're just such a no-brainer for me. And you don't have to have 40 plus spices in your spice drawer to be able to do this either. There are so many amazing products out there that you can get at the supermarket that are really reasonably priced as well, and that will just add that flavor boost. So you can get Moroccan flavor, Italian, Greek, Mexican, and add them to any of your proteins. You can add them to your vegetables. You can put them in dressings. They just add so, so much flavor, and you're not getting those extra calories as well.
But what if a meal contains like a high fat content? So for example, if you wanted to replicate like a pasta dish, like a creamy pasta dish, so you've got your like your herbs and spices that will give you like the flavor, but how do you actually reduce the calorie content with all of like the creamier high fat components of the meal?
Yeah, so you can certainly look to lighter varieties of those creamy components. So whether you're using cheeses or like cream cheese or mozzarella or something like that, you can use a lighter version of it. So it will cut the calories down, but also understanding the amounts that you're putting in. So instead of pouring cream into it, you're measuring a certain amount in, and you're understanding that, okay, yes, it is a higher calorie, but you're minimizing the amount that you're putting in and the portion that you're having of that meal or that ingredient.
Yeah.
So, and when you're having a creamy pasta, it's understanding, okay, well then the rest of your day isn't going to be creamy pastas, you know? So it's just balancing everything out. Like, there's a place for those sorts of things. But it's just understanding that they do kind of pack a punch with calories and how to manage them.
Yeah, I love that, because it's okay to have that creamy pasta, but it's what you have for the rest of the day that will allow you to have the creamy pasta.
Yeah.
So some of the best tasting meals, in my opinion, and I feel like a lot of our listeners will also agree with me, don't contain much protein. I think protein is like probably one of the biggest struggles when it comes to macronutrients to boost in your day. So tell me, like, how do you ensure the meals that you create are high in protein and or nutrients and still maintain that flavor? Like, how do you, like, I guess, like, disguise that? I know you've said like herbs and spices, but like, how else?
Yeah, so I mean, looking at the kind of the meals that you're probably thinking of, something like pizza, for example, is just making sure you've got a protein source on there. So rather than just having tomato and cheese, have chicken or prawn or, you know, any protein source on there to ensure that you're getting that protein in a lean, calorie friendly way, because you're still going to get protein from cheese and that sort of thing. However, it's a lot more calorie dense, so you just want to watch how much you're having. So ensuring that you've got a good protein source at the majority of your meals will mean that you're getting your macros on point and your calories on point too. You can also add protein powders to breakfasts and desserts as well to pump up the protein. Really easy way. It's a very economical way as well, just to add that protein in, and you're kind of not really noticing it either. So have a smoothie for breakfast and throw a serve of protein powder in there, and you could be getting 20 to 30 grams of extra protein into your day really easily without even batting an eyelid.
I was actually going to test you, and I was going to say, so tell me how I get it in my dessert. But you answered my question, so yep. No testing going on here. So you speak a lot about low calorie, good amount of macronutrients, like your good amount of protein as a macronutrient in your meals. So how do you actually define healthy in your cooking? Like, what does healthy mean to you when you create a recipe?
Yeah, it's really about balance. So one, I think healthy is about having flavor, because if you don't have the flavor there, one, people aren't going to eat it. So it's no good to anyone. So I want to make sure there's flavor there, but I want to make sure there's a balance of the macronutrients across the meal. So one, having that protein, of course, that's important, but having a really good carbohydrate source in there as well. So I'll always try and add a rice or a pasta, breads, or from a vegetable source as well. So sweet potato, any of our vegetables, they all have a form of carbohydrate in them, and just making sure that it's got that balance, and then with a nice serve of fats as well. So whether that's coming from something like avocado, nuts, seeds, dairy, they've all got good fats in them and contribute to kind of balancing the meal and ensuring that you're satiated and you've got that energy long term, and it's not going to just burn off and leave you, you know, really cranky and hangry.
Yeah, absolutely. And so tell me, talking about all like these recipes and so on, what is your favorite meal? Like that of our EQ meals, of course, that you've created. Tell me, what's your go-to? What's your favorite?
That's my favorite. I've got so many that I've done. I really love the Bang Bang Salmon Tacos.
I've not had that yet.
Oh, that was, I think, the last challenge that we did, not the current one. I think it might have been the one before. And I just loved it. It was so simple. I wanted to do that Bang Bang chicken flavor. And I just wanted to have something in there for the pescatarians or the people that want to increase their fish intake. But I didn't want to have to go down the route of getting all these bits, like lots of ingredients to create that flavor. And I literally mixed, I think it was sriracha, mayo and sweet chili sauce together coated the salmon in it and cooked it. And it's on high rotation in my house.
Did you cook it in the office?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay. I've had it. Oh, yes. So good.
Yeah. I really love that one. And I also love the peri peri chicken pizza. That was always a popular one from
OG.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always so popular at my house, and it's just so easy. I love the fact that I can have a whole pizza for my dinner, and it's like I'm still hitting my macros and my calories for the day. So that's one I've shared with friends and family, and it's really popular with everyone.
Eating pizza for dinner guilt-free is like when you get or to breakfast. That point in your life, guys, this movement is not a thing. It is not a thing.
I'm going to keep pushing.
But it's that when you get to that point in your life, and I remember for me, it was, you know, many years after fad dieting and then becoming educated on nutrition. For me, it was eating bread, because coming from a Lebanese background, bread is in every meal that we have. We put like rice in bread, like everything in bread, right? Yum. And so, I know, delicious. But so many years I went bread free because I was scared of carbs and I thought carbs were the enemy. And I remember going through this journey and making more flexible food choices and having more of a balanced approach, sitting down in my car and I was eating a ham sandwich, and it was the first bit of bread that I had in like 4 years. I cried and I was like, what is my life? And I didn't put on any weight. I actually, lost weight. And that was a big moment for me. So being able to sit down for dinner and have a whole pizza or have pasta or, you know, even a glass of wine or a chocolate bar is just like, it's a wow moment. It's like, oh my God, this is the best feeling in the world. Yeah. I'm at peace with food.
Yeah. It's not even not about feeling guilty. It's just about just enjoying it. Yeah. And
enjoying your meal.
There's nothing else around it. It's just you're enjoying your meal. Yeah.
You don't even think about it anymore. You're just like, oh, I'm just making pizza for dinner. And that is the norm.
Yeah.
And when you get to that point in your life where you have that relationship with food, which I like to call no relationship with food because you don't think about food, it is the most empowering feeling in the world because you know how to say no when you don't want it and you can have it whenever you do, which is the best thing ever.
Agreed.
So my last question to wrap this up, because can talk for days, both you and I.
Especially about food.
Yes. So with the knowledge and experience you've gained, what guidance would you offer your younger self about the pursuit of a healthy and balanced lifestyle?
Yeah. Look, I would say just keep it simple, and it's not about restriction and what you need to take out of your diet. It's what you need to put in and to nourish your body and not to punish your body.
I love that. People think that having less is more, but having more is more. Like, as in, your body actually needs the energy and it needs, you know, the carbs and the protein and the fats in order to regulate, whether it's for memory, whether it's for your hormones, whether it's for, you know, muscle repair. It is so important that you're fueling your body. Absolutely. And yeah, more is much better in our opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of the opinion of science as well, I believe.
Yes.
So, Greer, thank you so much. It was an absolute pleasure. So much valuable content in this episode. I hope all of our listeners took something out of this, something that they can apply in their day-to-day, whether it's meal prepping or when they're whipping up their next recipe or even just the way that they approach nutrition in general. Super, super valuable information. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. I'll see you at our next one.